messages on the Holy Spirit. I intended to preach this in one sermon, and I know when God says enough is enough, so I quit this morning. I plan to do the same thing tonight, not because I'm too lazy, just I want to be obedient to the Spirit. Amen? And I started on the facts of the Spirit, and let's look at John 16 and verse 13. I'll read that one verse as a key verse. Keep your Bibles open. And Rosie said she had her pencil out ready to go. Jot these things down. I believe they'll be a help to you. Go home, pray about them, and ask God to open your heart on some of these passages of Scripture as well. I've sure learned a lot just getting started into this. I've studied it for several months. Certainly thank the Lord for the help that He's given us. Done a lot of reading after some authors that I feel that God has used through the centuries of time. Beyond this, we know the Bible's filled with this teaching. G. Campbell Morgan, my, what a great Dr. Morgan, great, great writer about the Holy Spirit. R. A. Torrey, the same way. Bishop Hanley, the same way. George Duncan, the same. On and on I could go. You know what's sad today is there's not many preachers that's coming on that write much about things in the Bible. Most books today are how-to books. You know, how to get rich and how to manage your money and how to dress and how to burp the baby and all that kind of stuff. Amen. You're not with me yet, are you? But every now and then you've got to look at things in the Bible the way God wants us to look at it. Without the Holy Spirit, without His power, without His presence, we're in serious trouble. 16:13, John 16:13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. We're dealing with the facts about the personality of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to re-preach this morning's sermon. I'll say it very quickly. First of all, He is a person. He is a person. He has attributes of a person. He is someone I mentioned this morning who knows, someone who wills, someone who thinks, someone who loves. He is called in the Bible the Holy Spirit. He is called the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit of faith. That was His attributes, things inherent to Him, things that you cannot separate from Him. Tonight, I will look as a person, since He is a person, and we have that clarified. He is a person. Not only is He a person, we decided what kind of person He is. He is a He. Because everywhere in Scripture, the Holy Spirit is referred to as He or Him. And we know that He is that wonderful, wonderful Comforter that Christ said He would pray that He would come unto us, and He's here now. So we look tonight at His activities. Some strange things that you won't hear preached very often from very many pulpits. Here's the first one. The Holy Spirit speaks. Only a person speaks. You might be able to take other things that God has created and maybe they'll say one word or two words, but to carry on a conversation, only the Holy Spirit has the ability to speak. He speaks. That's all through Scripture. I read to you tonight the passage of Scripture that He'll speak whatsoever things He hears. We read also, you remember in Acts 8:29, wonderful verse. In the 8th chapter of Acts, that's where the revival was going on at Jerusalem. And the angel came to Philip and said, go down to Gaza, into the desert. And here Philip leaves a burning revival to go down in the desert. Of all the places to leave somewhere where God is doing something, to go down in the desert and not even know where you're going. But when he got there, you'll find out in the 29th verse that something strange happens. The Bible says that the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself under the chariot. He saw the eunuch in the chariot of Ethiopia, and he joined himself to him. And there he was reading from Isaiah. He said, do you understand what you read? He said, how can I understand except some man guide him? And do you know why that Philip could guide him? Because the Spirit had spoken to Philip. The Holy Spirit speaks. You'll find the same thing in Acts chapter 10. When Peter went to the house of Cornelius, you remember he had the vision, and there in that vision, the Bible says in Acts 10:19, and the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. He was very specific about it. We go to the churches in Revelation. The Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto him. Do you know the Holy Spirit speaks so clearly? And we know His voice, and He is audible to our heart that we can understand clearly what He's saying. The Holy Spirit has the ability to speak. So you'll find out when you start regarding Him as a person, and since He has the ability to speak, you'll start a relationship where you start communicating with Him. If He speaks, our responsibility is to listen. He not only speaks, but the Holy Spirit is someone also that teaches. We read this morning in John 14:26 that He will teach you all things. In John 16:13, He will guide you into all truth. The greatest teacher in this world is the Holy Spirit. Then also the Holy Spirit is someone who prays. He speaks, He teaches, and He prays. Well, preacher, that's not in the Bible. Sure it is. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit always is there to help us when we pray. I think too many times we pray words instead of praying with the unction of the Holy Spirit and seasoned with the Spirit. There is praying and there is praying in the Spirit. And there is a difference, a vast difference between the two. When you begin to pray in the Spirit, you'll find out suddenly it's not rhetorical words that you're saying. You're not just saying words that you repeat regularly, but you'll find suddenly needs will come before you that you didn't think of beforehand. You'll find suddenly that you're saying things that you never dreamed that you'd pray about because those needs are revealed to you when you begin to pray in the Spirit. Too many times, now I'm just being honest with you, too many times in too many churches that I go into, and even sometimes in our church, we call it family prayer around the altar, but we do very little praying. We gather around, we bow down, we say a few words. There is a difference when we pray and when we get to praying in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. I was privileged, Candy and I don't think they're here tonight. Dave and Betty Coon took us one time down to Asheville. I know Howard and Arlene, many of you others have been down. And I remember when we left, and I wouldn't say this to embarrass her for anything in the world, but we got on the highway and we got up around Ashland on 23, started down toward Asheville, and Betty said, "Oh my, I didn't pray." David said, "Go ahead and pray and I'll drive." She prayed for 45 minutes. And the more she prayed, the faster he drove. I'm glad Dave's not here. Don't give him the tape. And the faster he drove, 23 starts getting... So we wound up praying in the Spirit too. Then I led in a verse, "Dear my God to thee." Amen. "Lord, I'm coming home." And we were going through those mountains. He was driving and she was praying. And the more she got in the Spirit, the more he got in the speed. And the car odometer just kept going up and up. And finally, Candy was saying, Dave, you better slow down. You better slow down. She stopped praying and started yelling. But he slowed down. If you want to be someone that starts praying and praying in the Spirit, and I'm not exalting her, I'm just saying when Betty starts praying in the Spirit, she'll pray for missionaries all around the world. She'll pray for people that we tell folks, "Sure, I'm going to pray for you." Then we have a tendency to forget about them. But there's times that the Holy Spirit helps us and prays for us. Have you ever been sick? So sick that you couldn't say a word? That's a terrible sickness. It's terrible to be that ill. But you know what? God loves us so much that when we can't utter a word, if you left this place tonight and had a heart attack and they rushed you down to Soda Memorial Hospital and you were laying on a cot and they put tubes down your throat, and they were pumping on your heart, and you couldn't say a word. Do you know how much God loves you? The Holy Spirit would pray for you. The Holy Spirit would say, "Watch over glory. Watch over them, God. Take care of them. You see their need." Oh, I'm glad when we can't pray and we don't know how to pray, the Spirit prays for us. He prays for us and He prays through us. The Holy Spirit also leads. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, I promise not to keep you too long on this, but everything that everybody says they do in the Spirit is not in the Spirit. God doesn't lead for... Oh, help me, Lord. God doesn't lead in a lot of this stuff that people say He leads in. It's just not true. You know when the Spirit is leading people. I think it'll be evident. I think it'll be witness to every believer in the church when the Spirit is leading, because I'm not only a child of God, you're a child of God. And we're part of God's family. And when the Spirit begins to move, we all are in agreement. We're all saved by the same Father. The Holy Spirit is a person. When we're born again, we've accepted Him. We have a new birth. And we're born again not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. And you have that same ability that you're in tune with the Spirit. That's why sometimes when people do certain things and say they feel led of God, everybody everywhere gets blessed. And other times, now you be honest with me, other times when people get up and say, "Well, the Lord told me," or "the Spirit led me," everybody in the crowd's got the look on that face, "Would you please sit down and be quiet?" Amen. I don't think the Lord leads somebody. When a church has in special singers and a guest evangelist, I don't think the Lord leads somebody to sing 19 songs. Oh, glory. I believe we're going to get a... I believe every one of us that work out in these churches, that when you go out, I know Family of God has some appointments coming up this week. What always amazes me is, why do they ask special singers to come and then everybody in the church sing? Thank you. And everybody sings, and they say, "Now we're going to call the special singers to come." Then they're torn, because they're following the leadership of God. The leadership of God says, "It's over. Pack it up and go home. God went home a half hour ago. Let's go with Him." Am I lying or not? Well, they just keep pumping and pumping and pumping. I found out a long time ago, don't do any good to pump the well if you don't prime it. And when it starts flowing, let it flow. We don't turn this thing on and turn it off like a light switch. God does what He wants when He wants. And we just get in with God and go with God, and God will bless. But when we don't follow the leadership of God, we'll know that too. You know how many people float through our doors, walk back and shake their hand? "Good to have you today. Good to be here. Where do you go to church?" "Wherever God leads me." God's not in any of that. None of that. You heard it right. None of that. Now, you may be searching for a church, and you're trying to... Listen, by the way, God don't want you searching for a year. Some of you... I get amazed at these people, but they get up and they act like that going to church is like picking a four-leaf clover. Whichever way the wind's blowing, that's where they're going. God has a place for us and a plan for us. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I'm not here tonight because it's just something good to do on a Sunday night. I'm here tonight because this is where God wants me. And you know, we'll find that until you reach the place where you have an assurance in your heart that God is leading you, you'll never be happy as God's child. Never will be. Now let me give you some wrong attitudes about the Holy Spirit, and I'll quit tonight. The danger of wrong attitudes always lies within ourselves. I think there are two mistakes that I find the most common mistakes that Christians and people in the church world have made in regards
to the facts about the personality of the Holy Spirit. Mistake number one, we do not use the Spirit. He uses us. We don't use Him like He's a magic potion that we pull out and cast over a congregation. It has nothing to do with our ability. It's all Him. He's in control. We have to get ourselves in a place where we can say, Lord, I want You to use me. I want the Holy Spirit to use me. Second mistake, and I will park on this for just a couple minutes if you allow me to. The second mistake, people think, hold on now, that you can have more or less of the Holy Spirit. You can't have. We think that we are a cup that's empty, and God looks down at Brother Howard and says, fill his cup 3/4 full. Then He'll look over at somebody else and say, fill his cup half full. Fill their cup overflowing. The Holy Spirit is a person. Amen? Amen. Now listen, you were amening it earlier, but now it's beginning to conflict a little bit. Don't give up on me until you hear the whole series. Begin to conflict a little bit. Because what makes the difference with people? He is a person. You cannot have more or less of a person. The day you were born again, God made all His power available to you that day through the person of the Holy Spirit. Candy and I were married on June the 7th, 1980. She is no more my wife today than the day we married. Stay with me now. We twain became one in flesh, one in spirit. You know, the Bible likens the church as the bride and Christ as the groom. And when we are united with Him, we come together in union. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. I'm smart enough to know there's a difference in Christians. We cannot have more or less of the Holy Spirit. But you can have more or less of a person's trust or confidence. Which will mean, as the person trusts you more, they will share more with you, talk more to you, be more personal with you. You can't have more or less of the person, but as you surrender more of yourself to that person in confidence, then they have confidence in you and they know that they can trust you with more. Then they will speak to you and tell you more and tell you things that you could not handle when you first made them a part of your life. When we first got married, my wife can say things to me now that she couldn't say to me when we first got married. It is not that she loves me more today, or that we're less married today or more married today. We're just as married today. But in 23 years, I hope that I've earned her trust. I hope that I've earned her confidence. And it is a shame that people that have been saved for 20 and 30 and 40 years have gained no more confidence of the Spirit than the day they were saved, and they're still living on the same plane, and God has never revealed anything to them or spoken anything to them, because they don't show the Lord that they love Him anymore today, or that they have any more confidence in Him today than they did the day they met Christ. The determining factor will not be Him. He, the Holy Spirit. The determining factor will be you and I. as we trust Him with things. And that gets hard. There's certain things that a new convert has a hard time trusting God with. They have a hard time saying to the Holy Spirit, I have this habit that I can't quit, but I want to trust You with it. They have a hard time to the Holy Spirit saying, I really need to know what to do about this. And I'm doing all I know to do to love You and serve You and be obedient and let You lead me. Would You please tell me what to do? There's something here I'm missing, Lord. Would You please let the Holy Spirit show me and guide me and help me? Because if You lead me, I'll follow. Trust! But when you first get saved, sometimes, unfortunately, He says, here it is, but you don't want to trust Him. It's like that baby that's just taken their first few steps and they've fallen so many times that they're saying, I can't trust Mom and Dad anymore. But Mom and Dad one more time sets them up and says, walk to me. And finally they start taking those steps on their own. That's exactly what is happening spiritually in our life. We learn to trust God and understand God says what He means and means what He says. I would hate to say I've been saved all these years and I don't feel like I trust God more today. And that He can trust me more today than when I was first saved. It is a matter of proving to Him He can trust you. You know why He doesn't say some things to some people? Because some people's never learned. God doesn't want you to be the first to tell. God will speak certain things to you as He trusts you through the Spirit, not for you to tell everybody in the congregation, but to pray about it and make yourself available to be a blessing in that situation. It took me a long time in my ministry to understand something. If you want to go backward quick, hear me what I'm saying. If you want to go backward quick in your spiritual experience with God, just let the Lord entrust you with something and you drop the ball. You let Him tell you something and you tell the wrong person. You let Him share something with you and you go to the town gossip and tell them and it comes back around and that person says, you don't know that. How do you know that? Boy, you have a hard time explaining to them, well, the Lord told me. Because you messed up. You told the wrong person. Some things the Spirit trusts us with, He doesn't want us to share with others. We're always to share our testimony. We're always to share our witness. But there's some things that He puts on us as a burden, as a child of God to carry the load of other people. And when He puts that on you, He trusts you with that. And by the way, if you don't respond to that very many times, you know what will happen? He'll move on and entrust somebody else to do it. God sends opportunities in front of us. And He trusts us to take care of that. It's so easy to fail Him in that. Let me tell you, as I close, why I believe our church is on the brink of absolute explosion. It is not because of the attendance. It is not because of the offering. Not because of anything that you think. It's because God is telling people to do little things through the Spirit. God is beginning to tell people, somebody over here has a bill they can't pay. I'm not even talking about people that go to our church. You take care of it. And you know what? They do it. They don't question God. They just do it. Somebody over there, they're hurting. You don't need to know what it is. Just get out of your seat and go over there and hug their neck. Tell them God's on the throne and He loves you and I love you too. Hallelujah. When we get in tune with the Spirit and the Spirit trust us, He will not give our church any more than He can trust us with. But the more He gives us, and the more that we prove our trust to Him and use what He gives us for His glory, the more He'll pour out to us. Glory, glory. Can He trust you? We sure like to trust Him, don't we? But can He trust us?